Blog Talk Radio.
Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord, for he is worthy of all honor, worthy of all praise. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And we already know, oh, praise his holy name, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Glorious, 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 victorious, victorious, victorious. Sunday it is, January the 1st, the year 2017, a year of triumph, a year of glory, a year that God's presence will radiate, will illuminate the very probabilities and the possibilities that you have long awaited and prayed for. That's right. The year 2016 left us in a sense of disarray and confusion for so many, the transitioning of loved ones, the downwarding spiral of the economy, the confusion, the catastrophe, the headlines, everything seemed to be so overwhelming. But you know what? God set the stage and set the platform for a year, 2017, a year of victory and triumph for those of us who travailed through the year 2016. And let me tell you something, as a songwriter said, that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. That every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus' hand keeps me. He's the one that I adore. Because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Why? Because he is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Raise your hands to heaven and thank God for Jesus. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. Every knee must bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let me tell you something. You're making melody within your heart. That's right, unto the Lord. You don't need an orchestra. You don't need timbrels. You don't need a band behind you. You don't need an organ. You don't need a piano. The melody is in your heart, because when you know who Christ is, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You've got the music within you. You've got the harmonies of heaven present and prevalent within your spirit man. And that's what it's all about. No floor show, no performance. It's just worship the way that God intended it to be. Unadulterated, pure, sanctified, spiritual, uplifting, motivating, miraculously transformational. This is what God intended when he set up the church upon the earth. The church is a spirit body. You can't put your hands on it. You can't touch it. But, oh, my God, when you have the Holy Spirit, you can feel it. That's right. You can feel it. That's right. There was a song that an old church mother that used to sing this song, and I really began to understand the fundamental aspect of the song. But when I was younger, when I first heard it, I didn't understand, because I had not grown to the area of spirituality that I'm at this present time. And this is how the song went. She would say, this is the church of God in Christ. This is the church of God in Christ. You cannot join it. You have to be born in it. This is the church of God in Christ. This is the church of God in Christ. This is the church of God in Christ. You cannot join it. You have to be born in it. This is the church of God in Christ. And as I absorb the very lyrics of that simple song, that's right, two verses that are standardized in the hymnal. It makes so much sense. You cannot join the church. The church is an invisible spirit body. You have to be born into the church. Why? Because that which is of the flesh is of the flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spiritual. So you have to be born into it. That's right. Except a man be born again of the water and of the spirit, he cannot in any wise enter or inherit or be a part of or receive the blessings of the kingdom of God. Why? Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It appeases to the natural man. And that which is born of the spirit is spiritual. So, yes, you have to be born into it. And I just love what our Messiah said to Nicodemus. He said, marvel not. I mean, don't ponder, don't think about it, don't worry over it, don't try to perceive your own philosophical way of looking at it and infiltrate the very concept of what I'm saying. He said, marvel not, you must be born again. How do you become born again? First of all, by admittance. Admittance to the fact that you and I, as beautiful as we were when we were born unto sin and shapen unto iniquity. That's right. We were born in this flesh, the nature of that Adam. That's right, of that first man. That first man was of sin. That's right, of corruption. Because what? He chose to voluntarily so disobey God. That's right. So we took on that nature when we were conceived in the womb. Even though we were spirit children before we were encased in a physical body or embodiment, we became an parchment and an entrapment because why? We were born through the natural conception of things. And as a result, we took on that sin nature. As beautiful as we were, we took on that nature. That's right. And as we began to evolve and to grow, we became more constant in that sin nature. That's right. So the first thing is to admit it, that we are all sinners. And we have all fallen short of the glory of God, all of us. I don't care how many degrees we have behind our name, how many definitive aspects of accomplishments that you and I have, despite of our income, despite of our outcome, despite of our social life affiliation, we are all sinners. That's right. Despite what a translucent character we have, what a jovial person we are, we are all sinners. Admitted, with God, I am a sinner. I was born unto sin and shaped unto iniquity. And through my mother's womb I came. I need a Savior because I don't want to fall victim to this world. And I know that the carnal mind is enmity to God. It's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please you. Lord, I want to please you. Forgive me. And after admittance comes repentance. That's right. Saying to God, I'm sorry for the sins that I've committed. Both omissive. Then commissive. Omissive means things just happen all at once. But commission means you sat down and you thought about them, you pondered about that act that you did, asking God to forgive you of all of your sins from the moment that your feet hit the planetary domain, you were born, up to the time of your repentance that second. And upon the sincerity of your act, to be forgiven. Confession is the third step. Are you writing this down for the record? See, many people have said they're saved, but they haven't followed the steps to salvation. The third step of salvation is what? Confession. According to your faith, be it unto you. Confessing that you know that God, the Father, creator of the universe, made you in his own image. And that because of the nature of Adam, that you fell short of his glory, and that you know that he sent his only begotten Son, our Messiah, our Savior, our big brother, our mediator, our high priest. That's right, to take on sin for us.
and that because he took on sin, he rose above sin and destroyed the victory that sin had over mankind. No more death, no more corruption, no more falling short, because Christ took on every negative factor in this world. And admitting that he is Lord to the glory of God, and because of your admittance to your hopeless state, your confession of right, and your repentance, and your true confession now is that you know that he is Lord to the glory of God, and asking that he take on your life and make your life anew, and that you accept him. That's the fourth step. Accept him. That Jesus Christ is your Lord. Because why? Through admittance, that's right. Through repentance, that's right. And through this step now, you are receiving him. You are accepting him as your Savior. That's right. The Savior of the world, the captain of your soul. That's right. The bishop of your soul. That's right. And upon this, the openness, your willingness to do these things, God will allow you. That people talk about the water baptism. The water baptism rectifies that you are cleansed. You are buried. The burying the nature of the first Adam, the corrupted, corrosive man, Adam, who defied God. You are being buried in baptism, in the water, being washed by the nature of the first Adam, to rise up to walk in the newness of life, the second Adam nature, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord, the perfect man, because he was the God-man. That's right, and now he's Lord to the glory of God. Isn't that awesome? So this is why you must follow these steps. And upon your cleansing, your washing away of the residuals of that first Adam, you will receive the Holy Spirit. You will receive power. You shall. This is our promissory note that our Messiah told, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the holy receptor. It is the conduit that totally connects you to the kingdom of God and to the powers of heaven at your disposal, at your convenience. We have this treasure. This is what the apostles were saying. We have this treasure now in an earthen vessel. This is a treasure. The Holy Ghost is a treasure. That's right. You don't set up another treasure just later. You utilize the treasure because it won't benefit you unless you utilize it. And now this one, the healing and the spiritual gifts and the anointings and the miracles and the very progressions of heaven illuminate through you because of the Holy Ghost. And we walk in the obedience. And we begin to grow. The spirit man grows. You become more conscientious of the spirit man. It's not about a religious organization. It's about salvation. Salvation is a spiritual experience. It's not a natural formulation of a feel-good moment. It is a spiritual translation, meaning that you have been changed from the corruptible to the incorruptible. That's right. That's right. And God glorifies you, and your soul is sealed unto the day of redemption. You know you're going to heaven. Your spirit is definitely been stamped with the seal of approval, the authenticity seal of approval by God. And all that you are and will be in this natural life and even in your next level of existence will all be God-centered. It will be on the highest echelon possible. And that's what salvation is. So praise God. God is doing a great new thing in the body of Christ. And this is a new year and a new opportunity by way of the Wisdom Alliance. That's right. And let me tell you something. No glorious more time to be in this body and this physical chapel that we have the opportunity to give raise to the praise, to give opportunity for men of all walks of life to see what God has done in us. And as we are unfolding the very reverence of his word, let us go to our theme scripture today. We're going to the book of Isaiah. You know, Isaiah was the bold prophet who told Israel, you know what, because of your backslidden state, you have refused and refuted the knowledge of God, so shall you suffer. But to those who walked in obedience, even though the Holy Ghost had not been given, men were yet inspired of the Holy Ghost. What's the difference from being filled with the Holy Ghost and being inspired with the Holy Ghost? Consider this factor. A glass. I'm using a natural
parable or comparative analysis. The glass. You have a glass. And you might say, I'm thirsty. I want some grape juice. You may put just enough grape juice in that cup, quarter of a cup, to satisfy the urge. Why? Because you're thirsty and it's a temporary surge that your thirst has been quenched by the grape juice. That's just enough to get you started. So you begin to feel revived, refreshed, and renewed behind that little bit of grape juice. But, oh, what did you say? I'm really thirsty. I really have to have a certain surge of energy to quench my thirst and to rejuvenate my natural capacity. You take that grape juice and you fill her up. You fill her up. You go past the quarter cup. You go past the two-thirds of a cup. You go past the three-quarters of a cup, and you go get a full cup. That's right, a full cup, what we consider in technical terms is 16 ounces. You didn't get 2 ounces. You didn't get 4 ounces like before. That quarter cup is 4 ounces out of 16. You didn't do that. You didn't get that three-quarters of a cup, which would be 12 ounces. You got 16 ounces of grape juice. Why? Because you're extremely thirsty. You feel famished, and you know you will get that surge, that boost to complete the task for the day. What happens? That cup is so full, you pick it up, and it starts just spilling, just spilling, just spilling. But you're drinking it and saying, oh, what a relief it is. That's the difference. The Holy Spirit moved upon the prophets. That means they had that quarter, that's right, anointing. But Elijah was so full, Elijah anointing was increased to the full cup because this man was a prophet of fire and ice. That's why he could be cold and then tell people the truth and then God honored what he said and then he become fire so fervent that people couldn't even stand. Evil couldn't even stand to be in Elijah's presence. So look at the very presence of the quarter cup as being having the Spirit. That's right, move upon you and influence you and inspire you, and it does the job. But then look at that full cup being filled up. That's right, and the apostles who were translated from being the disciples in the New Testament of church were filled up. That means they were just spilling over. They couldn't help it. The physical transformation had taken place. Why? Because the spiritual man had been changed over. So there were spiritual signs that constantly followed them. Sometimes the signs would reach people before the very personalities of the apostles did. So that's what the difference. But both were touched by the hand of God and had the Holy Spirit. So here, Isaiah rebuked the very idolatry of Israel. That's right. And the whole earth and how they had sinned and how Judah had sinned. That's right. Judgment must come, for God cannot allow the blatant sin to go unpunished. He let them know that, hey, God is sovereign. He is God. But at the time, God had become so weary that he even made mankind because mankind had become so wicked. That's just like you have a child in a natural aspect of speaking. And you know that you have three children. Two, you say, are blessings from the Lord, but they're even with their tribulational points in their life. But then you have that other child. You say, Lord, where did this child come from? Am I being punished through this child for something that I have done? Well, nevertheless, they became that third child. And they start doing things that were unappeasing to God. But you know something? That Isaiah, through prophetical eyes, because he had the Holy Spirit upon him, operating within him. He wasn't full, but he had it there. He was full enough to know and see the Messiah was coming as a Savior and Sovereign to bear a cross and to wear a crown. That's right. Isaiah's prophetical ministry spanned the reign of four kings of Judah, covering at least 40 years. That's right. Yahweh and Yeshua is shortened from the word Yahweh is salvation. So when you see Yahshua, who, that means Yahweh is salvation. And this is a forerunning book of the Messiah and what was coming to pass, that God was going to take a new approach to deal with the insolence and the iniquitous behavior of mankind. Let's go to the 43rd chapter, and let's begin reading at the 13th verse. Yea, before the day was, I am, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Who's speaking? The Lord is speaking. He's saying here, I'm God. Who can stand against me? That's the reason why when we put all things in God's hands as his children, we should just go to bed, lay down. Don't try to figure it out. God has already worked it out. He said, behold, I make your enemies, the very obstacles that face you and attempt to dehumanize and conflict you, I make them your footstool, and I'll hand you the victory. But walking in obedience gives us entitlement to receive the blessings of God. He said, who can deliver you out of my hand? I mean, who can break me? Who can challenge me? None. He said, I will work, and who shall let it? I mean, who's going to stop me? When I declare that you are blessed, that you are prosperous, that you are healed, that you are anointed, you are appointed, and I've made your enemies your footstool, and that all things have succumbed to you because you have accepted me, and I am so reigned. No negative-minded person, no voodoo, no hoodoo, no witchcraft, no wizardry, no sorcery can stop it. They know his minions can even challenge it. They'll get ran over because we're talking about God here. We're not talking about some idol sitting on a shelf. We're talking about the spirit that created the universe, that spoke you and I into existence, who knew us before we were encased in these physical bodies. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, oh, this is him, the great I am, the I am, who's speaking, the Holy One of Israel. Israel. Look at that root word, Israel, God Israel. For your sake, I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans who cry in the ships. What are you saying? For your sake, my children's sake, I have brought their enemies beneath them and literally liquidated them before their presence. I have caused them to be broken before them and my children to walk victoriously over them. So we know that when we get that breakthrough saying we don't owe that money and that we're getting divine favor and that people are rendering to us support that we don't even perceive that's coming our way. We know it's not us. They got scared of me because I told them, no, it's the hand of God. It's the hand of God that worketh on our behalf. But God said, I fixed this for you. They all praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. And I said, oh, they better recognize me. No, it's God. It's God giving us divine favor, asserting his presence in our life. That's what's going on. And this is what he was trying to tell the children of Israel through the witness of Isaiah. It's me that did these things. And no, because the armies were great. Babylon was so great. It wasn't an army. It was a mighty nation of individuals who challenged Christianity, that challenged the existence of God. And you say Christianity. Yes, Christianity then, because God had unified with Israel. Because why? Israel was the only nation that practiced or believe in the, what, monotheistic system, which means the one God unit, the one true God unit. The other societies at that time, the other civilizations, the Hittites, the Assyrians, and all and the Sumerians, and all of these other people, the Babylonians believed in the polytheistic system, which is a multiplicity God system. So that's why God put Israel on top, and he will put you and I on top when we focus on him and the progression of his kingdom. And oh, I love this. In 15 verses, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your King. That's right. So he's saying, I am that I am. I am the one that brought you up. I am the one who sanctified you. I am the one that made you whole in the midst of your enemies. And know and acknowledge these things. And he's saying that to us. When I tell you something, he wants us to receive these things and stop challenging, stop questioning, and allowing the flesh. See, the flesh is a mess. It'll take you in the wrong direction and screw you up each and every time. So he's saying, no, don't challenge me. When I tell you something, that's it. It can't be a challenge. It cannot be corrected because I, the Lord your God, has spoke. And we need to walk in that obedient way and get out of this carnal way of thinking. I got to figure my bills out. How am I going to make it? I got to be able to see myself. No, faith is the substance. Do you remember the lesson about faith? Faith is the substance. 11th chapter, book of Hebrews, of things hoped for,
things to anticipate and need to happen right away. The evidently proof of things that you can't put your hands on, that you can't see with your natural applicability of senses. So he says what? Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. He says, I'm the one that makes the way out of the impossible and does the unthinkable and materializes the intangible. I'm God. I'm God. How many of us respect God and want to do a greater job of respecting God in this new year, this new phase opportunity? God is a what? Wants us to have a new attitude for a new latitude. And you can use it vice versa if you choose. God has us with a new latitude because we will have indeed a new attitude. That's what we've got to do. We've got to change the way we think, the way we do, how we operate, how we motivate, how we stimulate. He says, what? I'm the one that does the impossible. Remember how the Egyptians were swallowing the way of the Red Sea? That was God. Remember that burning bush in the midst of all the chaos that was going on with the children of Israel? That was God. Remember the sun by day? That was God. The moonlight by night? That was God. The manna falling from heaven feeding the children of Israel? That was God. When Moses smoked the rock and water came from it? That was God. The 10 plagues that literally wiped Israel off the map, the 10 curses that God instituted because they were holding his people, and he said enough was enough? That was God. God has not changed. We've changed. We've become so scientifically motivated. We have become so technologically savvy. We have gotten away from the old landmark. Let God be God. The Lord be God, then follow him. Now, if the world be your God, then follow the world. There's a way to see what's right unto a man. Those are the ways of death. But if you choose life, abundance, joy, peace, happiness, prosperity, perfect health, divine nature, anointing and appointing, salvation, love, and all the wonderful attributes, well, let God be God. A new attitude for a new attitude. A new attitude for a new latitude. I'm there. I'm there. I don't know about you. On all seven continents around the world by way of the Wisdom Alliance Network, I'm there. It's time for us all to arrive at that point because God is speaking here. He says, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They lie down together. They shall not rise. They are quenched as tow. That means they're destroyed. Everything that's oppositional that comes against you, that's present and prevalent that you see with a naked eye, because you say, I'm your God, I'm Yeshua, I'm El Shaddai, I'm El Yoham. That's right, because you acknowledge me and you confess my son is your savior. I'm taking your battle on. Your enemies, my enemies. Your debts, my debts. Your burdens, my burdens. Can anything burden God? Come on now, come on now. Can anything destroy God? No, he's eternal. Did not he create everything in the universe? Yes. And you speak one word in your favor, and then you know your financial files get lost and nobody can find any information on you. Yes. God sends his angels. His foot doesn't touch the ground. Jesus Christ paid it all. He doesn't have to go back on the cross. Oh, can't nobody preach this but like the Holy Spirit can. God speaks a word and the elements obey him. When he spoke that word and told the water to swallow up the Egyptians, it happened, didn't it? When God told the death angels to go and claim the lives of the firstborn in Egypt, didn't it happen? God will speak death to our enemies. He said, oh, they're going to die. No, I mean, God means death to them, end to their rule, the end of them persecuting you, end to them trying to push you for money, end to them trying to make you feel bad about yourself, end of them trying to manipulate and monopolize behind your back. That's what I'm talking about, bring them down to naught. This is the God that we serve. You better love him. You better trust him and let him be the God of your life. If you want that new latitude, you need to change that negative attitude and stop trying to be the master of your faith and the captain of your destiny. Because guess what? You nor I possess the capacity to do those things. And I think that by our track record of our failures, we can see that. Why? Because we didn't do what the Lord said do. We were not where God told us to be. Amen. And praise his holy name. He said, you know, did not I need to pull your coattail and remind you? He said, did not I do those things? Yes, he did. That's right. And so because of these things, we should hold in reverence who he is. And they can't rise. And once God breaks the arm for your enemies, that company that's been harassing you, those people who have been picking at you behind your back trying to condescend what they see in you because they fear the nature that God has placed within you, they can't stand the light because they live in darkness. When God says enough is enough, they'll be removed. You don't have to do nothing. Just stand still, as he told Moses, and know that I am God. And then, and Moses said, well, Lord, when I go before them, they're going to look at me and say, who are you? He's going to say, he told him, he said, you know what? Tell them I am that I am. Uh-oh, look out. When God says I am, look out. He says, I am have sent you. So can't nobody challenge that. I am have set me at my work location. I am have set me to be the very head of this establishment. You can't do nothing with that because God will remove you. Strange things will happen. The Egyptians didn't think anybody could challenge them. They had the mightiest army in the region, the most lucrative and illustrious civilization. Got wiped out. Because they messed with the wrong people. God said, don't touch my anointing. Don't do my prophet's anointing. You better let us go. Let us go. But God said, leave them alone. Let them go. You don't know what's going to happen. Those companies, those people, they're going to bring down. Because watch, God is putting you in a new place. He's doing a new thing within you. And he don't want nothing to come against that. All right now. Hallelujah. Some of the deadhead, deadbeat friends you had last year, you still holding on to them, God, no, I'm doing something new. I got to remove you from them. Even if I got to take one and cause them to go to another city, and I take one and cause them to go to another location or somebody come in their life and they distract and responding from you, I got to do something with you. I'm doing something inside you, but you won't let me do it. You keep putting all these things that are not complementary to your existence. God is doing a new thing in this day and time. Oh, let me go ahead now. They shall lie down together and shall not rise. He says, aren't they see? You can't you find those people that wronged you, those companies that did you wrong? Nope. It went down to nothing. Because why? Remember ye not the former things. And oh, I love this, and let's put emphasis on this. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. I know sometimes we do go down memory lane, nostalgia, when we were younger, when we had our first, you know, encounter with that special guy and our special friends, how we felt when we put that new outfit on. Those things are fine in their place because we're human. We have that human nature. But don't relevant and relive back in the past because old things, when you are in Christ, have passed away, and behold, all things become new. How can you receive the blessings of here and now you keep living in the past? You can't. How can you focus on that puppy love when you were a teenager and get infatuated and Google-eyed about that and expect God to send you a husband? Come on here, ladies. Let's hear it now. We can't receive it. How are you going to talk about, oh, God's going to fill my pockets up with money, I'm going to pay all my bills to be a blessing to people, and here you living back when I had this charge card and that charge card, and I had the availability of this time. That's how you got in the mess you anyway. You didn't use financial wisdom because you were young and foolish like many of us were. Said, God, forgive me for being stupid with my finances, with my credit, and my situation looks like a catastrophe. God going to take his hand and fix it. You know, that credit score will start going up and up and up because credit score ain't number the way to oppress the people of God. And even though why not the people of God? God said, I'm going to break the hand that held you back. But get over that mess. God's taking you to a new place. How do you expect God to give you financial prosperity and be that hand of Jehovah Jireh that generates a million increase in your income and your outcome even more an increase when you keep living in the past? He says, I'm doing something new. Stop living in the past. He said, behold, the 19th verse, this is our emphasis scripture, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Whoa. Behold, I will do a new thing. Like I said, I'm doing something different now.
get off the path. You're going to miss it. And it's like, oh, you know, I remember this bus used to come at 4:21 p.m. You know, I get off at 4:15 p.m., and I can just time that bus. You stand up there and wait for that bus at 4:21, 22, 23, 24, 25 p.m., and that bus comes at 4:19. You're going to miss that bus. You better get yourself out of that building, and you get off work at 3:50, stop talking and running your mouth, get to that corner before 4 o'clock so you can be ready. When that bus comes, you can swoosh, be on it and get them from point A to point B. Or if your transportation provision tells you I'm picking you up from your job at 4:10, you tell me, oh, I'm going to talk to my friends. Keep on living in the past. I remember back when, and that ride comes in, wait for you 5 minutes and gone. You're stuck. Why? You can't stop doing what you're doing and thinking you're going to get new results. You can't use the old ways and get new results. You can't. This is a new focus, new attitude for new latitude for new attitude. Right. The new latitude will produce that new attitude. The new attitude will coerce that new latitude to come in existence. You got to do things according to the will of God, construct it. That's right. He says, I'm going to do it new. And he says, spring forth. Some spring forth, it just bursts. Financial prosperity just bursts. Money will start coming from every direction. You'll be saying, Lord, where did this come from? Don't worry about it. Say hallelujah, praise God, thank you for the provisions. Amen. And be a blessing to someone else and tell somebody your testimony. Don't be all sitting up high-minded like you always had it going on. We ain't always had it going on. Some of us could even roll two pennies together to make a half a mite. More or less have a dollar to make you want to holler. You didn't even have that. It was the hand of God that coerced financial prosperity. It was the hand of God that healed our bodies. It wasn't so much that we were fit to the tip, exercising, taking nutrients, and doing all this. The hand of God guides us in those paths. Amen. Give him the glory. Not ourselves. He says, and you know what I'm going to do? He says, I'm going to do this. In the wilderness, and other people may be falling down, things not going well for them. He said, but because you put me in charge of your life and allow me to be God, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. I'm going to allow these wonderful things to captivate, to happen in your life. And this is what he's doing, a new latitude to produce in us a new attitude, and a new attitude that we must have in order to have a new latitude. It goes both ways. God wants balance. He's doing all this. We got to produce something. That's right. A crop doesn't come to flourish without a seed being planted, without the water, that's right, coming into the ground to perform natural irrigation. And without photosynthesis, there will be no growth because that means the sun has to do the nutritional part, producing vitamin D into the very anomaly of where the vegetation is growing. So there is a coercive teamwork effort that must be orchestrated on our part. He says, and you know what else I'm going to do? The beasts of the field shall honor me. Whoa. The dragons in the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Wow. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Come on here now. Now, we read two verses together because he's saying, I'm going to make provisions. I'm going to make a way. That's what he's saying in 20 verse. I'm going to make a way where there was no way. That everything that you have prayed for, you've asked me for, is going to come into fruition. Don't worry about where it's coming from and who it's coming through. Just be there. Stop living in the past, dwelling in the past. Be there. Don't be square. Reside in the future and look up and say, thank you, God, and receive it. Get out that past. Get that foot out of 1971. Well, you know, I was 21 then. No, you're not going to be 21 anymore. 21 has passed you by. To those of you who were born in that age of era, you were born 1950, you were 21 at that time. You're not going back to 21. The clock keeps going steadfast ahead, fast forward pace. Stop living in 1981. You know, I was just 20 in 1981. No, you can't go back to 20. You are here where you are now. You are 55 now. You can't go back to 1980 and 81. Why? Those days are gone. You're not going to be 20 again. You're going to be
40, you're going to be 60, you're going to be 80. And God says so, you're going to go past that and live the abundance to give him the honor, the glory, and the praise. Another opportunity, another year to give him raise to the praise and to receive the greatness of the kingdom of heaven in your life and in my life and the lives of those who trust, love him, and obey him. So we, in order to get this new attitude, we got to what? Get a new latitude. In order to get the new latitude, we're going to have to produce a new attitude. This is what God wants. He says, now, you're going to be my people. You are my testimony. See, God leaves us on this earth to be testimonies of his greatness. When people see us, so we're not crying and hurting for nothing financially. What you got it going on? No, I got it going on with God. God got me in his care. I'll never, you know, you're not married yet, but I never hear you talking about you lonely and everything, and you got to have some. You know what? Because God got me. He's a friend that's sticking closer than any brother. That's right. I hear people talk about their children, getting on their nerves and everything, and you know, your children never think about it. No. I trust in the Lord and do good and lean not to my own understanding. And therefore, in all my ways, acknowledge him. He directs my path. He lets me know what I must do with my children. He has taken on their lives and their issues because I trust him as my God. That's why. And, you know, oh, girl, I never hear you saying, oh, you don't feel good and your body's, you know why? Because I know that Jesus Christ is wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was upon his shoulder, by whose stripes I was healed. It's God that keeps me in perfect health. He said, and he said, you act like you don't never have a problem with the world. Well, you know, the Lord told me this word. He said, I keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. That's right. So that's where it all comes from. And this is where we're gaining the momentum to receive this new latitude. Because why? We have a new attitude, and we're having a new attitude because we're experiencing a new latitude. And we're not going into 2017 and having another tragic year like many of us had last year. We're going to have a bright, glorious, victorious year indeed. And every day we're going to testify and say, you know what? Lord, thank you for blessing me. I didn't see that blessing coming. Thank you, God, for keeping me. God, thank you for making a way for me. I know it was you. That's the kind of year we're going to have. This is a year of triumph. People say, oh, Donald Trump is the president. Let me tell you something. Donald Trump is nothing but a man, a natural-born man. And we don't put our trust in him and in no person at all. That's right. And many people say that's a tragedy. Yes, but see, God can take him and make him a testimony. That's right. Break him down to make him up. So let that go and pray that his mind be steered in the right direction for however long his term is. God knows what he's doing. If he took Nebuchadnezzar and broke him down to the LCD common denominator, and he crawled on his belly like a snake and had to ask the very people that he toppled over to help him, what would God do with him and any other leader? So, you know, our trust is in the Lord and not in mankind. And that's what I'm saying. We have to pray for him, even so as we pray for one another. And we have to pray even for ourselves because we are living epistles being read of men every day. This is the Wisdom Alliance coming to you by way of the blogtalkradionetwork.com. You've got your teacher, that's like the Holy Spirit, and your orator who is present and prevalent here with you, the Esquire Abbey and Felton, in Motor City, Mount Ronnie, saying, have a blessed, glorious, and victorious week. We'll be coming at you real soon if you want to be a part of this ever-changing, interfacing network of progressive and productive believers. Make sure that you hook up with us on the Facebook page, the Wisdom Alliance Network, or else simply go there to the Blog Talk Radio Network and send me an inbox, your